Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast, hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa Jung. Dr. Britt and Dr. Lisa are two licensed naturopathic doctors, passionate about all things health and wellness. They are on the mission to break down wellness trends, variety of conditions with a naturopathic and holistic lens. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Welcome back to the Real Docs Podcast, Season 1, Episode 5.
We're your hosts, Dr. Britt Lesher
and Dr. Lisa Jung. Today, we are going to be talking about how you can actually advocate for yourself when it comes to your health. I feel like both of us have a lot of patients, and honestly, like I want to say a good majority of my patients, and I'm sure you probably are too,
yeah,
they're so disappointed with the conventional and Western medicine system that they end up coming to see me for more of like that holistic approach. And I feel like I don't really go a day without hearing about someone's bad experience when it came to like their health and, you know, their visits with their primary care doctor, specialist, and things like that.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times patients maybe don't understand like the how the healthcare system works, and they're just trying to figure out what they should do. Health is something so personal and vulnerable,
right?
And navigating that space in larger settings that can seem very like bureaucratic and very like cut and dry can turn a lot of people off to that. So that's why we wanted to make this episode specifically about how you can navigate your health journey and advocate for yourself in settings with providers, even with natural providers or alternative health and integrative providers, right? How you can get the most out of your visits and really speak up for yourself so that you can get the answers that you're looking for.
Just as an FYI, this isn't like some hate or anything to the conventional world or, you know, Western world or anything like Western world, Western medicine world. I feel like both of us, you know, especially when we used to practice up in Seattle, it was very integrated into like insurance system and things like that, right? So we know what it's like to be a provider dealing with our current healthcare system. And I think we have so much respect for everybody in, you know, just healthcare field in terms of what they do and saving people's lives, and especially like emergencies and, you know, surgeries and all of that. It's like, you know, amazing the amount of work that they do. But I feel like this is also very important to talk about because so many people have just this like disdain and distrust of the medical world. And sometimes it like even translates to us too. Like I would have like patients call and, you know, think about they're starting with me, and then, you know, they would be like, you know, no offense, but like, I don't trust doctors. And I'm just like, okay,
fun. Great. So excited.
Love that, I guess. Okay. But yeah, I think it's really important to talk about how to advocate for your health and what to do in situations where you don't feel heard. Maybe you feel gaslighted by your practitioner who is supposed to be caring for you.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people, when they come to a doctor, they're really trying to be forthcoming about all of the things that they're dealing with. And a lot of times we talk about this a lot in our medicine, is that providers don't have enough time with their patients, right? And so luckily we are in a space now where we can spend 45 minutes to an hour, sometimes even more, with our patients and be able to take the time to hear them out, hear every bit, ask all of the detailed questions, and explain. Because I think that's one thing that I hear from patients is that they don't know why they're taking certain things. They don't know why their labs look like that. They mm-hmm. don't know why their labs aren't getting better. They don't know why they're not feeling better, right? And that takes education, and that takes time to sit down and teach someone, right? And medicine is so complicated. The amount of time that we spend learning about the human body and about how to treat all of these different conditions, it takes years, right? So explaining that to someone, the, you know, lay person, can, it takes a lot of skill to really teach someone about their body, about these little intricacies, right?
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, as doctors and practitioners, the learning doesn't stop there, right? There's always new things that you're learning. There's new conditions that pop up. There's new labs, medications, and so forth and so on, that it's like, it's an ever-evolving field.
Right.
And it's funny enough, that's why they call it a practice. Yeah.
No one is actually doing medicine. Yeah. Everyone's practicing medicine.
Yes. Yes. Right. And I think that's important. I feel like I heard that somewhere as a kind of like a joke.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, well, it's kind of true, because
it is true.
We don't know everything. And mm-hmm. I think that's also like a good expectation to have of your doctor, to like, mm-hmm. they don't know everything, but yeah. I think the important thing is that they know enough to, you know, guide you and, you know, do the research and look into things for you as your doctor.
I was going to say, I like the idea of, as a provider, coming from the standpoint of like, I am just this vessel of information. I am not a god. I am not all knowing. I don't know 100% of how everything right. all the time,
right?
When it comes to each person's health, like even when I am 20, 30 years in practice, I still will look at myself as I need to learn and become more, have more information for people, mm-hmm. right? And be able to see trends in my patients and trends in conditions, because a lot of times we have specialists or people who have been in practice for a very, very long time, and they honestly get stuck in their ways of treating and thinking about people. And that's really what you see when patients feel, you know, like they're not being heard. Yeah. It's like this provider just like has seen it all before, and I'm just another number, but I feel different. And that's the reality, is that everyone is so unique. Yes, we are all of the human species,
right.
but we all have different genetics. We all have been through different things. We have had different health encounters, right? Everyone is so different. There's not one person's body that is like the other, right? We know a lot about research because we study, you know, what works for a majority of people in this specific research, you know, study. And even if it is 16, 20,000 people, there's 7 billion people in the world, right? And even the research, it's like maybe 90%, you know, but not 100%. You never see research that's like 100% of people had 100% the same reaction, right?
And I feel like we kind of touched upon this, I think first episode as well, where a lot of people don't fit into this like box,
right?
Or compartment. And for example, like standard of guidelines, like that they're there in terms of for the doctors and practitioners to use, because, you know, maybe something, you know, on your lab that we see is like off, and then we kind of go down this like algorithm of like, oh, okay, like it might be this, it might be that, and then what is the standard treatment for that, right? So, you know, for like first line of therapy for like depression or anxiety is SSRIs, right? And that's kind of like the standard of guidelines.
Yeah.
But not everybody fits into that mold, because they might have genes or genetic components where they might not process SSRIs, or maybe they're allergic to something, or they're resistant to SSRIs, whatever it is. But I feel like in the, you know, typically in the conventional world, because they're abiding by this rigid standard that everyone is the same, or you have the same condition as the other person, this is the treatment. I feel like that's where it starts falling really short, where patients are like, well, what the hell? Like, I don't
I'm
want to
not
take
feeling
that medication,
heard.
or I'm not, yeah, like maybe that's not actually what's going on with me, or, you know, so many different factors, right?
So one of the tips and tricks that I like to tell patients when, before maybe they start working with me, if I have a chance to talk to them through like an introductory call, is I ask them if they have, records of their past, labs or any health documentation that they can share with me is helpful. But I also have them make a short list of things that they're struggling with and the questions that they have regarding those things that they're dealing with, right? Because being a good health historian is one of the great ways that you can get the most out of your healthcare visits, being able to write down like how often things are happening, how severe they are, things that are making it better, things that are making it worse. Just so you guys know, when we are taught to question patients, these are the questions that we are asking, right? We learned it as old
Old
carts,
carts.
right? So onset, when did it start? Location, where is it? Duration, how long has it been going on for?
Characteristics,
Characteristics,
yeah.
so like specific things that happen when you're having certain symptoms. A is aggravators, right? So things that make it worse. R is re what relieves it, right? T is timing. And then, so when does it happen? Does it happen at night? Does it happen in the morning? Does it happen only during the week? Does it happen only on the weekend? Does it only happen when you eat certain things? Does it only happen when you use the bathroom? Does it only happen when you haven't used the bathroom? Like all of those types of things, right? And severity. How severe is it? Usually we're using some sort of scale, right? Like from 0 to 10. So just so you guys know, that's what we are looking for when we, you come to us with an ailment of some sort. So if you have those that key information that can sometimes help you get the most out of your visit because we're able to work it up quickly, right?
You know what's really cool that I've seen people do, and it honestly like helps me as a practitioner, is some people have like their health binder.
Oh, I love
So, you
that.
know, all the records of their like labs and imaging and you know, maybe like not forever of your lifespan, but like, you know, at least like the most recent ones. And some people like make their own symptom tracker, or you know, sometimes it's like a Word document of like they're just like kind of typing as they like remember, or like, oh, like February 19, 2024, like this happened and I ate this, and it's like tracking down exactly
I
what
love that.
you're saying, but like in a essay or like a tracker, right? Now, don't get too crazy, because we don't we that's a lot of things to also
Got
like
that
prep
much
for.
time.
Yeah, we love giving you time, but not that much time. Otherwise I'm never gonna sleep. I think it's like super cool that like people have that kind of all put together, so then when it comes to our, you know, visit, it's very efficient of like, okay, what happened, when did it happen, like all those things. So I think that's, you know, you don't have to go all like crafting and things like that, but I think it's something that also is a good tip to just have all your records, all your things kind of like in a good spot and in an organized way, so that it's making more sense for you as well as for your provider. One of my common things I recommend to people, especially when it's, you know, going to their specialist, maybe I can't do it for them for, you know, XYZ reason, is making sure to ask for certain labs that you want. Now, I think one of the common example is people, especially, you know, female patients wanting to get their hormones tested, right? And we do it all the
All the
time.
time.
In the conventional world, they don't, I feel like, unless it's like their gynecologist or something like that, they'll sometimes, you know, order these sex hormone labs, but not as often as you would think as well. And sometimes it's like labs that may not be indicated, right? And maybe there's a good reason, but I think that also prompts to your provider to be like, hey, like I want to get maybe like my estrogen progesterone run, and they might be like, oh, like why? And that kind of creates the conversation, right, of like what might be going on. You know, maybe there's period issues, or you know, maybe you want to get pregnant or whatever it is, that kind of prompts up the visit to be like, I want, you know, I'm experiencing this, therefore like I want to kind of go investigate, right? And yeah, really just kind of like advocate for certain labs that you want. Now don't go crazy, don't go like asking like, I want my I don't know.
I think there's a lot of like random labs, like when people do research on their condition or what they think that they have, there's usually like a recommendation for certain tests that they should do,
right?
And oftentimes if I'm having the conversation with patients and they're wanting to run certain labs, I do want to know the why behind it. But I also like to talk about like, okay, if this comes back positive or negative, is this going to help us to really get to the nitty-gritty of what's going on? And I think that's the one of the reasons why like hormones specifically don't get run a lot in women that are dealing with a lot of like reproductive condition or symptoms, because the answer is going to be the same whether or not the labs are abnormal. Right. From my experience, it's birth control, right? So it's like, why am I going to run an estrogen or a progesterone or a testosterone level if I'm just going to put you on birth control anyway, whether it's elevated or not, right? So I think that is something that I oftentimes see, is the labs are very, like, they're not proactive. They're not going to help you get to the root cause of what's going on. Sometimes it's more of just like, we're not going to change our treatment plan anyway. Yeah, and I think that a lot of times when people go and try to advocate against like a recommendation by a medical professional, like I have felt this too, where you know, I make a recommendation and a patient doesn't want to do it or doesn't like the sound of it. I think I see it as more of like, okay, let's pivot. Let's find something that's going to work for you, because I want to make a recommendation that works for you. But I think a lot of other healthcare professionals, it's like you go to school for 4, 5, 6 years, you go to residency. You don't want to be told no. You don't want to be told that you're making a recommendation and someone doesn't want to do it, right? And so I think coming from a respectful standpoint of being like, I appreciate your recommendation for this, but this is not going to work for me for X, Y, or Z reasons. And I think I, as a provider, would be a lot more open to that for patients, of like, okay, they're advocating for themselves. If this is not going to work for them, like, I should listen, because like I said, I'm not an authoritative figure, right? Nobody can actually make you do anything. We're just giving you information. And I think a lot of times in the healthcare setting, people come across very authoritative and like, you need to do this. Or like, I've heard some horror stories from patients of being like, yeah, my provider was like, if you don't do this, I don't want to work with you. Like, I will not be your doctor if you don't listen to my recommendation and take my recommendation.
Oh my God.
And I feel like that is such, that's just terrible medicine to me, right? Because that's not what we went to school for and what we took an oath for, right? So.
Wow. Yeah, I feel like that brings up a good point, is that, you know, we don't want to generalize. It's not a stereotype or anything, but I feel like a lot of medical professionals, especially doctors, have this ego of like, I'm a doctor, you listen to me because I wear the white coat, or, you know, I spent like 8 years in school and residencies or something like that. But it's like, you're practicing medicine, you're supposed to be caring people, right? Care for people, treat people to feel better, and all of that. And that just creates so much friction in that doctor-patient relationship, right? And the moment like that gets brought on maybe by a doctor, the more the patient's going to be like, well, I'm not going to listen to you even more, right? And there's it's just like such a waste of time and resources and energy too, to rather than like spending the time and sitting down and be like, let's have a conversation. You know, me as a doctor will tell you these are the things that are, you know, showing up on maybe on your labs. You know, what are some risks? What are some, you know, prognosis and things like that. And then creating that as kind of like a guideline to be like, okay, like this is the first line of therapy for, you know, this condition. How does that sound to you? Like, and these are the side effects. You know what's crazy is a lot of people don't get told about the side effects of these medications
I
too.
noticed that too.
Yeah, which is scary.
So that's another thing that you could do to advocate for your health is like when a recommendation is made, ask how is this going to be helpful for me? How is this going to be treating what I have? How does it work? Are there side effects to be aware of, right? Because a lot of times people will take certain things, but they may not know why. I hear from a lot of patients who are having side effects from the medications that they're on, but they were never told that that could happen. So they're like, why all of a sudden do I have this dry cough after taking this hypertension medication, right? It's like there's a lot to how medications work. There's always side effects that could happen in people. So being aware of like what you're taking and why you're taking it and what are the side effects can be very helpful. The thing that I was gonna mention when you were talking about that piece of like having that provider patient relationship, part of that is really I want my patients to be open and honest with me about what they can and cannot do. And I love it when patients are candid about like, honestly, that's not gonna work for me. You know what I mean? 'Cause like the goal is to help you. And so if you tell me about obstacles that you're having, you know, I want to help you create a game plan where you're actually going to see your treatment plan through, right? If, you know, you just say okay and then don't do it and don't get better, like that doesn't help
It
anybody,
doesn't help.
right? So I think that's another important thing too, is just like the honesty and being candid about what you can and cannot do and what you will or will not do because of your certain values or whatever it may be.
I hear a lot of communication is
Right,
key.
right.
And I think that's what it is. Sometimes when you go into the doctor's office, it's kind of like this scary place because it's such a like vulnerable space. And maybe, you know, maybe there is a little bit of like authoritative, you know, feeling to maybe the your provider or the place that you go to or something like that. But I think it's something that we all have to learn of like stand your ground. It's not a fight, but stand your ground, you know, be open about what works for you and what doesn't work for you, what you are, you know, wanting, what are your goals and all of that. I think that really creates a better space for everybody to just be like, okay, like what do we want to do? Do we want to do that? Okay, like if we want to do that, these are the side effects, these are the interactions that you know there might be for other medications or other supplements or whatever it is. But it is your health. It is your body, your health that is, you know, in charge of by you. The doctors and professionals are going to be your vessel, like Dr. Britt said. So don't feel like if you're experiencing any sort of, you know, medical gaslighting or just like bad experience, that's kind of like the end all.
Yeah, because you can find another provider,
Get another
right?
doctor.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like we were always taught in medical school that the therapeutic relationship is part of the medicine. The relationship you have with your provider is part of the medicine. And just because of my like own medical history, I have experienced being in those situations where like you're afraid and you feel like you need to listen and you feel like you need to take everything, you know, for what it is. But the reality of the situation is that they're making their best recommendation and you don't need to listen. You can get a second opinion, right? I think that we do put providers on a certain level of a pedestal, mm-hmm. which I can understand because, like I said, we went to school for a long time and we do see ourselves as having that responsibility, and a lot of people take it very seriously, right? But I just have found that that approach to people's health is not helpful 100% of the time. And a lot of people, that is why people have a fear of going to the doctor. Right. Like, why do people fear going to get help mm-hmm. for their health? It's because of that tension. It's mm-hmm. because of that, right? Mm-hmm. And the fear of figuring something out with their body that they may not be okay with, right?
I think there's also that fear of judgment and misunderstanding, right? Yeah. And it's a process, it's a journey.
Yeah.
Your doctors are not going to know everything, like we mentioned, but if you find that your doctor is not working with you as or unwilling to work with you in the sense that you need, mm-hmm. then it might be time to find another doctor.
Yeah. Woo! So that was such a fun topic. Yes. I know it can be a little bit, it makes me a little bit sad sometimes when I think mm-hmm. about patients not being able to advocate for their health or feel they're not getting the most from their healthcare visits, or maybe they do have a strained relationship with their providers. But the important thing to know is that there are providers out there that will take the time to speak with you and teach you. And I think it's just a matter of being able to sit down and research and find somebody in your area.
Right. Find a doctor who cares for you and, works with you on what you need and
listens
mm-hmm. and not all hope is lost.
If you are interested in seeing a naturopathic doctor, you can go to the organization. I think it's www.naturopathic.org mm-hmm. and they actually have a find an ND function.
Yes.
That you can put in your zip code and they can try to find a provider in your area if you're just interested in looking into a different kind of way of looking at your health.
Yeah, there's a lot of directories like the one that Dr. Britt mentioned, and just simple Google search, you know, naturopathic doctor near me, that's always going to pop up something. And depending on where you live, some states are not licensed in terms of for naturopathic doctors. So there may be some that are there who are going to be more of a health consultant rather than your quote unquote doctor, right? Yeah. But I think at least getting a couple of visits with an integrated practitioner, especially naturopathic doctors, is just going to start a whole new journey for you when it comes to just health, whether it's treating certain conditions and ailments or just wanting to optimize your health.
Yeah, so that's all for episode 5 of season 1 of the Real Docs podcast. We are keeping it real.
Very real.
So you guys be real and stay well, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.